talk to Education Minister Jan O'Sullivan, and one of the first things that has landed on her desk as the new political season opens is the report from the task force on students affected by the closures of private language colleges, which of course created such controversy and left an awful lot of students high and dry. Minister, you have the report now from the task force. The particular focus, of course, on those students where there was no learner protection as insurance provided. Is the task force happy that other schools in the private sector are now looking after these students and they are getting sorted out?
Well, thank you, Anya. Myself and Minister Fitzgerald, we jointly launched today a major reform with regard to the international education sector in Ireland to address the issues that arose from what happened with those colleges. So it's basically a three-pronged approach, which will, first of all, ensure that there will be a much stricter list of programmes that will be eligible for student immigration. Secondly, that there will be an inspection regime, which will be strong. And thirdly, that the whole area of the work concession is going to be reformed so that currently students can work 40 hours a week during holiday time and 20 hours a week during term time, but we're going to standardise the holiday time so that it's the same as the academic year for students in Ireland generally, so that, you know, they won't be able to abuse that concession that you can work a full week's work during holiday time. So they're the three measures that are going to be taken. They will be introduced from the 1st of January, and the intention is that that will protect students, it will protect Ireland's reputation, and it will ensure that we do tackle any abuse that is in the system.
Well, wouldn't our reputation have been better served if these regulations had been in place in the first case and the inspections had been carried out so that it wasn't possible for students, because I know there was a concern about a cohort of students who came here to work rather than to learn.
Yes, well, I think this has been an issue, Anya, not just for Ireland, but for other countries where students, where not the students so much, but those people who brought the students here sometimes used the system to manipulate it in order to bring people in simply to work rather than to learn. And there were some changes made in recent years, but obviously the information that came out recently did require that we take really structured and very careful and thought through action. And that's why we set up my predecessor and the Minister for Justice set up the task force. We are now implementing the recommendations, and we are determined that for the future that our reputation will be restored, that students won't be brought here for purposes that are not appropriate for international students, and that we will deal with this issue in a very clear and also a very decisive way.
Now, the other issue, of course, that's been on your desk with the return of the school year over the past couple of days has been the ban on sugary drinks and the concerns about childhood obesity. You're ruling out an outright ban, particularly on those vending machines that are in, I think, up to a third of secondary schools.
Well, I'm very concerned about the obesity issue and have been for a long time, and have contributed to the debate in the past, when I was spokesperson on health, for example. And we don't have any of these machines in primary schools in Ireland now. And that was brought about by agreement and consensus and discussion with parents and schools. So what I'm saying is, I think it would be an awful lot more effective than having a diktat from the Minister for Education. If we can bring parents into this, if we can consult parents and ensure that, you know, there is a much broader discussion around childhood obesity than simply saying you can't have the machines in the school, but the kids can go down the road and buy them in the shop, or you may well have them at home in your fridge. So I think this has to be much broader.
Well, most schools, the kids aren't allowed out at lunchtime, certainly not until well into senior cycle. So if they were banned in secondary school, Minister, the kids, the teenagers at least, wouldn't be able to drink them. I think the concern would be that, of course, the schools get paid in a lot of cases, don't they, to have those vending machines in the school. So the concerns on the school's part might be they'd be a couple of grand short, and perhaps the department would have to cough up. Is that why you're refusing to ban them?
No, and I'm not saying they won't be banned, Anya. I'm saying that the way I want to approach it is through, for example, the same process that has gone on with regard to school uniforms, where the parents are consulted with regard to their views. They're brought into the discussion. And I mean, I would be very surprised if most parents in groups, in fact, in schools, and the majority of parents wouldn't want to ban them. And, you know, that...
Well,
that,
if
I
they're
think
told there's going to be an increase
way.
In their voluntary contributions, if they do. I mean, that's the catch, isn't it?
Well, I don't think that should be what would happen by any means. And certainly I would be willing to discuss issues around cost and support and so on. But I genuinely think we need a national debate on this, and just simply banning something in one particular place, which, you know, the children spend a certain amount of time in schools, but they live outside of schools as well. I think this needs to be a much broader approach. And that's why I do think we need to engage mm-hmm. parents in this. And I want to achieve the same end. But I think just simply me walking into the job and saying, I'm going to ban these machines is not the way, in fact, to bring about real change in terms of our attitudes to food. You know, schools have lots of sort of approaches to healthy eating and so on that work really well, that involve the children, involve the parents. And as I say, at primary school, this has been brought about by that kind of an approach, that kind of a discussion. Mm-hmm. So I do want to see it achieved. But, I think the big stick of the big minister isn't the way to do it. I think it has to be done through discussion with the schools. And I would be confident that we will achieve it.
Okay. I want to talk to you in a moment, Minister, about, of course, the other issue in terms of secondary schools, which is the new junior cycle syllabus. But let's, while we're on this subject of childhood obesity and its impact on children, let's hear a little bit from Dr. Donal O'Shea from the Obesity Clinic in Loughlinstown.
What I would like to see a more radical approach on from the Department of Education is towards actively banning the junk food and the high sugar sweetened drinks, because we have children leaving schools now with 50-inch waists and wearing size 26 Debs dresses. I mean, do we need any more evidence that we need to get real and radical?
And would a ban, particularly in secondary schools, which is where most of these drinks appear to be consumed, would a ban be of benefit to teenagers?
All the evidence is, even in this month's American Journal of Preventive Medicine, that if the single biggest thing you could do to combat this obesity epidemic is get rid of, in particular, the liquid sugar-sweetened drinks calories, and if you could with that minimise the junk food, top shelf food intake, then you would really be beginning to make progress. But I would say again, the minister's emphasis on the early years, getting the kids into school at the age of five, already at a healthy weight, because 25% of our five-year-olds are already in trouble starting school.
That was Dr. Donal O'Shea, Minister. So just to conclude on the sugary drinks, you're not starting out by banning them in secondary schools, but you are willing to consider it down the road. Is that right?
Yes, I am. But I think, as I say, we need it to be a much more broad cultural debate. And that's why I do think parental involvement is absolutely crucial.
Now, of course, there's the whole controversy about the revisions to the junior cert. Well, it's not the junior cert, it's the junior cycle. Programme that Rory Quinn brought in, which the teachers' unions have had their concerns about. They're balloting on industrial action and they're not cooperating with training. You'll be meeting them tomorrow, I understand. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to compromise on the timetable and the content of Rory Quinn's reforms?
Well, the timetable has already begun, Anya, and I made that very clear from the beginning that I wasn't going to delay the commencement of this. So the first subject will be English, and it has already started in the schools. So I intend to ensure that we do bring about curriculum reform. But obviously, it has to be in working in conjunction with the teachers. I know teachers have had, you know, a huge lot of difficulties in recent years because of the cutbacks, etc., that we've been forced to implement. Mm-hmm. And I understand all of that.
Which is the reason they're saying that there just isn't enough time and resources being given to bringing in such a very big change in the way schools work.
It isn't really a very big change because it's a very gradual change. It's one subject at a time per year. It's been talked about for decades. It is really around giving students the opportunity to learn in different ways and to be rewarded for learning in different ways. And I think we all want to achieve that. So I want to have the discussions with the teachers. I don't think they're against the idea of the reform. They have particular issues around the assessment part of it. And I want to hear what their concerns are. But I genuinely do believe that all of the research shows and all of the interests of the children would indicate that we do need to reform the way in which we measure. You know, okay. At the moment, we largely measure by one exam at the end of a cycle.
So and you're committed to
you know,
the
I am committed
assessment.
To changing that.
Minister Jan O'Sullivan, Education Minister, thank you very much indeed for joining us from Kildare House. Now,